One of the privileges of being a priest is to be able to accompany people in their grief. It's not a privilege, obviously, that's exclusive to the priesthood. We all have friends and loved ones who've experienced loss. You know, perhaps we ourselves are experiencing loss. But as a spiritual father, a priest is regularly involved in not only the joys and, you know, the good things of the spiritual life with others, but he's especially involved in the sufferings of his people. A father wouldn't have it any other way. When I was writing that, I couldn't help, and this will probably detract, but I couldn't help but think about the scene from Lord of the Rings. I'm sorry. But it's, you know, the scene with Sam and Frodo where Sam says, "Come on, Mr. Frodo, I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you." Right? Hopefully that's something that we've experienced in our own life with our loved ones. We go through so much, and it's true, we can't necessarily carry the suffering of what someone else is experiencing, but we can do our best, you know, with God's grace to help carry them. And in the family of the church, right, there's joy and goodness, just like in any family. But there are many among us who put on brave faces, but are seriously hurting. And that's one reason why it's so important that we pray for each other regularly. By name, if we know someone, and generally as a parish, for all those we don't know. Again, I've often found myself experiencing with someone, experiencing their extreme grief. And there's very little in that moment that can be said. And it's not because our faith doesn't have the answer, but it's just because things are too raw. It's too awful. And sometimes in those moments, the question does get raised, why? Why, Lord? And that's the question of our gospel. One of the unique, striking features of our gospel is Jesus' delay. Elsewhere, confronted by suffering, Christ acts quickly. He even acts remotely. You know, he can but say the word and someone miles away receives healing. But today, Jesus is slow to respond. We heard in our scriptures, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so when he heard that he was ill, he rushed to the bedside of his friend. No, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Strange. Martha and Mary will give voice to our grief. Why? Why, Lord? As one theologian puts it, we often say to God, "Why are you not answering my prayer? Why are you doing nothing? You have the power. You have the love. Why are you apparently staying away? Why do you seem to be indifferent to me and my serious needs that I'm praying for?" It is a perfectly natural thing to think and to feel. On one hand, it seems to show that God loves us less than he could, that he's not using his power or his love to get us out of our problem, whether our problem is physical or mental or spiritual, whether it's in ourselves or affecting someone we love. Why doesn't God seem to answer our prayers? That's Martha and Mary's question. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." how does Christ respond? First thing Christ does is he weeps. He enters into the suffering. And that should stick with us. Christ wept by the grave of Lazarus. Something so disturbed the Sacred Heart of Jesus that he wept. And we can ask ourselves, what was Christ weeping about? Did he not know what he was about to do? Certainly he did. What was Christ weeping about? Did it have something to do with freedom and this drama that we're all caught up in? This drama of choosing to love God and the abuse of freedom that can involve us saying no to God forever. What was our Lord weeping about? So how does Christ respond? He enters into the sorrow. But then he does something amazing, and he alludes to this at the beginning of our gospel. This is a moment of showing something even greater, of bringing something from the absolute point of no return back. Many times our Lord has healed an illness, and that's impressive. But this is a moment where he brings someone back from the point of no return, the clutches of death. It's a greater miracle that God works by waiting. In his wisdom, he waits. He sees and understands our situations in ways that we can't appreciate yet. And so it's not that our Lord doesn't answer, but he sees things differently, and he calls us to trust and to show us that he is who he says he is. He cries out, "Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come out." And the dead man rises. Our Lord gives us an insight. He says, "Whoever believes in me, even if he die, will live forever." Right? We have to have that belief. We have to have that rock solid belief. How does that work? Our second reading got to that point of explaining how that works. Christ shows us on the cross that divinity cannot be extinguished no matter what we do. That's what's about to happen going forward into Holy Week. Christ is going to offer himself as ransom, as remedy, as the greatest act of love. And he's going to die. And he's going to raise himself as a witness to us that divinity cannot be vanquished. And then the beautiful reality that his divine life is extended to each one of us. Whoever believes in me, even if he die, will live forever. We live forever based on God's divine life living in us. And that's a direct gift and grace of what Christ did on the cross and what Christ did in the grave. That's a direct gift and grace of living the sacramental life of the church and of receiving the Eucharist in a state of grace. We receive that infusion of divine life, and we know and we trust that no matter what happens to us, that divine life alive within us will not permit us to be separated from the one who has gone to the cross and to the grave out of love for us.